I will call together the House Resources Committee. Today is Monday, February 2nd. It's 1 p.m. in the afternoon. We're meeting in the House Resources meeting room here in Juneau. I am Representative Mike Hawker, Vice Chair of the Committee, chairing today on behalf of our co-chairs who will both be presenting legislation, and I thank you both very kindly for the honor. So, Madam Secretary, could you please, well, actually, I'll take that back. I'll just note the role of the committee. We have with us Representative Johnson. Welcome, sir. Representative Josephson, always good to have you. Representative Herron, hello, sir. We have both our co-chairs. We've got Representative Nagyak and Representative Tallarico. Again, thank you, and I thank you kindly for the honor. Myself, Representative Hawker. We have Representative Kurt Olson, Representative Garantar, and Representative Paul Seaton. And with that, we have a complete roster of our membership to conduct business today. The two items on our agenda are going to be the House resolutions related to the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge, the actual birthplace and home of our co-chair, Benny Nagyak. So today, I believe the agenda listed them as 9 before 10, but we're going to start with HJR 10 because Representative Nagyak has a conflicting appointment here. So at that HJR 10, I'd ask Representative Nagyak if he'd like to take our stand and present the bill to us.
Can we read it, the title?
I would be happy to read the full title to you if you'd like, sir. The title for House Joint Resolution 10 is Opposing the Revised Comprehensive Conservation Plan and Environmental Impact Statement for the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, Opposing Attempts by President Obama to Alter Management of the Coastal Plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, Encouraging the United States Congress to reject a proposal based on the Revised Comprehensive Conservation Plan or accompanying Environmental Impact Statement, and Encouraging the United States Congress to reject a proposal that does not open the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil and gas development.
So, thank you, Mr.
Representative Nagyak. The floor is yours to present your legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has introduced a new draft comprehensive conservation plan to turn more than 12 million acres of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, ANWR, into wilderness, effectively ending any chance the land can be managed for oil and gas exploration and development. This includes the 1002 area on the coastal plain, which was specifically set aside for such purposes. It also includes 10 million acres offshore. With the onshore and offshore combined, this is an area larger than 10 states or 28 Rhode Islands. This is in addition to the already 58 million acres of federal wilderness, which accounts for 53% of America's federal wilderness areas. The 1002 area of ANWR was excluded from wilderness designation in a compromise made under the 1980 Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, ANILCA. In exchange, Congress doubled the size of the refuge and designated 8 million acres outside the 1002 area as wilderness. The Comprehensive Conservation Plan fails to clearly guarantee protection of subsistence access, resources, and uses, and further is an exercise in disparate treatment of two distinct indigenous Alaska Native groups, the Inupiat and the Gwich'in, thereby limiting access to privately owned lands held by Cocteau Inupiat Corporation and the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation through a wilderness designation, while failing to incorporate lands on the southern edge of ANWR into the same designation. The people of the Arctic Slope region, especially the residents of Cocteau, are conservation-minded and yet rely on responsible oil and gas development to sustain their communities. This proposed designation, as announced, would effectively slam the door shut on the substantial economic opportunities associated with future development of the potential resources of the Alaska coastal plain. Alaskans strongly oppose the wilderness designation on Anwar's coastal plain. In fact, 78% of Alaskans support oil exploration in the 10A2 area. Every Alaskan governor and every legislature and elected congressional representative and senator from Alaska has supported responsible development. The No-Slow Bill, which I was once mayor of, and the Alaska Federation of Natives also support responsible development, as well as a majority of residents in Coctelet, a village within the coastal plain where I was born. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And thank you, Representative Nagyak. Before we get to questions for the sponsor, since we're now on record, I'd like to reaffirm the notice that was given earlier today that while we had originally as a committee intended to take or hold confirmation hearings on Board of Fisheries and Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission nominees, those two confirmation hearings have been deferred to a later date. We realize we're running a little close on time. We probably anticipated a great deal of interest at least in one of those confirmations, so we've decided to delay those to a subsequent meeting. So with that, we'll come back to the topic at hand. And are there committee questions for the sponsor of House Joint Resolution Number 10? Representative Herron, then Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Nagyak. Of course, I'm one of the co-sponsors, and I support this effort. But I just want to go on record and ask you the question that this is a attempt to make the our part of Anwar permanently closed. I don't think at this moment in time, I don't think Congress is going to approve such a request, but just by the sheer fact of them making this request, will Fish and Wildlife and the federal government treat that part of Anwar as wilderness anyway?
They've been doing that since the very beginning. You know, it was set aside in 1987, but they, as a potential for oil and gas, and it would be developed in the future for that purpose. You know, people live off that land, and they've been, and to remind everybody, I was born there. I don't live there, but I still have relatives there, you know, Coctelet, and a majority of them do support the 1002 area for responsible development. And that has been like that for a long time. And to hear the leader of Three Worlds say, our the designation that in 1987 it didn't count. To me, that's what it says. And also, Fish and Wildlife Service has also said in a lot of other places that they don't want any other development or activity in federal lands. I've fought the Fish and Wildlife Service for many, many years. When they were working on a Walrus issue, I was the chairman of the Walrus Commission. And when I was the director of wildlife management, when they were, when the Porcupine Cable Herd Treaty was being held, we had some problems working with some of those agency people, and it hasn't changed. The Fish and Wildlife Service is supposed to do what the legislature does. The legislation says they're not supposed to go out there and do something on their own after they were told that they should that the land should be used for oil and gas development. And the Fish and Wildlife Service on its own did this study about the oil and gas potential and whether they should, whether this U.S. shouldn't do on that because of the interest of wildlife in that area. And so in 1987, it was designated as a potential for oil and gas, and that didn't help stop the agency to do what they've done. And now they've worked, convinced the President of the United States to say or to do what they said for the President to do is shut it off with oil and gas. That is not the purview of the agencies to designate what should be or open or closed. That's a purview of the United States Congress, both as House and Senate. They're the only ones who can do this, not the Department of the federal government. And that's what I have a big problem with, that the department is making a designation, really asking for a designation when it's not their job.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Nagy-Hack. Further questions? So, Representative Josephson, sir.
Thank you. Chairman Nagy-Hack, in the sponsor statement, it says that the comprehensive conservation plan includes 10 million acres offshore. And I searched in vain, albeit late, for a map that reflected the boundaries of the plan. Is that 10 million acres, is that within the 3-mile limit, or is that some of the disputed Beaufort Sea in the administration's other order about offshore drilling? I'm just trying to get a sense of where that 10 million acres is, if you know.
Well, in native country, especially in tribal lands or tribal waters, when they're talking about the designation of what they own or what they have control for millennia, they always talk about the Arctic Ocean as a whole. And so when they say that, we control or own the area miles out of offshore. I mean, I hunted there with my cousin looking for bearded seals. And I waited for my cousins and uncles to come back from whaling when I was a director of wildlife management. And they went far, way out there in a lot of times. And I've seen my aunts and uncles waiting for their children to come back from hunting. They were way out in the ocean and waiting for them to come back. So I know that the people who live in along the coast consider that to be their garden, and they do everything to protect it. But they also know that we need to have economic development in some places that would not destroy the beauty and the animals that live in that region, either on land or on water. Or in water.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Josephson. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the sponsor, I don't see in our bill packet any official communication from the North Slope Borough or from the village of Kaktovik. Have either of them spoken out and taken an official position on this most recent proposal?
Well, I think this Marshall Borough has, and I don't know if the native community has, or the community of Kaktovik has, but I know in the past that they've opposed any action towards using or designating that part of the world, that part of 1002 as wilderness. And They've said that in the past. I don't think it has changed. There's a few people who are against that, you know, against development in the Channel 2 area, but I think the majority of the people who live in Kostovik support the designation of that area as a potential for oil and gas. And I visit often, not as often as I would, because, you know, in the summertime there's good fishing, and I like to go with my cousins to do that. It's a wonderful place, and but in a wonderful place, when people make their homes there, you know, they build homes to last. Mm-hmm. And these houses that they have been in have been started back in the 70s. And a lot of them are, they need repairs. Mm-hmm. And they need repairs, and they need new heating systems. And, you know, these are in the old, from the 70s, the heating systems that they used. They guzzled gas like nothing else. And so this would give them a potential if they had economic opportunity to fix those homes and to also allow the North Shore Board to do more, not only in that village, but in the region, because it would provide economic opportunity for the whole area, not only the village, but in the village. They would be able to produce oil and gas in their own land. Mm-hmm. The federal government created an instrument to, instead of tribes like the people wanted, they created corporations. What do corporations do? They make money. And what asset do they have, the people in that area have, and people that are in the whole North Slope in general? What is the resource that they have that they could use for economic development? Oil and gas. They own that oil and gas in their lands. Not only the village corporation, but the regional corporation. So you give an instrument from Congress, from the United States of America, and says you can't have tribes. You're going to have corporations. And what do corporations do? They make money. So in effect, in federal lands, not only in Anwar, but in NPRA, where I live. I was born in Anwar, but I live in NPRA. And I remember when I was chair of the Gates of Arctic Park and Preserve, the Gates of Arctic Park and Preserve was created by Congress without the input from the local people. Mm-hmm. For thousands and thousands of years, they have used trails to go to where there are plentiful fishing and hunting opportunities. But the federal government said the Park Service closed those areas, those traditional guys. Coming back, those traditional areas where they've hunted for generations upon generations, and it says you can't go there anymore. So what happened? The Arctic Slope Regional Corporation had a land exchange with the federal government in NPRA. The people to travel wherever they were traveling for years. That's a federal government that I've lived with since I was a child. We're not children anymore. We know what to do. Our people have lived off the land for a very long time, and they haven't done anything bad to it. So that's why I'm so adamant to make sure that the people are allowed to do their own thing with the land they own instead of being said to the federal government, we don't trust you. We're going to shut it off. We don't trust you.
Thank you very kindly. Further questions for the sponsor at this time? Representative Herron, sir.
Mr. Chairman, not comments. No questions, just two comments, excuse me. Is that I would like to see this move forward, but maybe in conversations before the next stop or before it gets to the House floor, is that there be a whereas or a resolved or something that states that even though this is a request, but that it shouldn't be used as de facto wilderness designation by and the Fish and Wildlife will manage under that scenario. The other one is far more technical. Staff looked at HJR 9, and there's the last part of the last sentence should be added to 10 as well, and then distribution list that all other members of the 114th U.S. Congress get this as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And good comments, and I'm going to come back to one of those under amendments.
Yes, sir.
Representative Tarman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just for the sponsor, today it won't be the right day, but I guess I'm looking for some direction from you on the issue of global climate change and melting sea ice. And, you know, we're hearing a lot of narrative about how that's affecting subsistence activities in the area. And so just want to be able to, you know, feel like I have enough information to understand how we can both honor that subsistence tradition and make sure that the environmental impacts from climate change in whatever way they're being caused are not going to, you know, harm that tradition while also having, you know, opportunity for additional economic development.
Well, I don't know about you, but everything created in this world has learned adaptive capabilities to changes in anything in their lives. Not only man does that, but the animals in our earth, they adapt to everything. And just because you know that there's going to be something, this global warming is coming and it's hurting. It's going to the animals are dying and we're not seeing any more. And said, you know, those animals adapt. Look at the walrus off of Isaac Cape near Point Hope. There's tens of thousands of them. They're now making that place their place to go after they go out hunting or to go foraging for their food underneath the ocean. And so those caribou those walrus adapted. Polar bear, mm-hmm. Same thing. They adapted. We see them now in the summer along the coast, and we have plenty of places where they go feed, especially where in my town we have a lot of blubber from the whales. We leave them at the point, and the animals come and they feed themselves. And the seals, same thing. And so animals adapt. People adapt to changes. And when you say to people, said, you can't do this because it's going to happen down the line that the animals will be endangered or will be depleted. That time hasn't come yet. And I don't think anybody in their right mind without any scientific studies would designate an area and the animals in that area as warranting protection from an event that hasn't really happened yet. And that to me and my people doesn't make sense. Because people and animals adapt. And I'm sorry, but I have to go.
Thank you, Representative Nagyak. We appreciate this, and we will continue to see if we can move your resolution from the committee. And I would just ask everyone to keep in mind, this is our first hearing of a legislative nature, but we all do need to remember that the communications go through the chair, and we avoid the use of you and direct personal communications as part of our following of Mason's Rules of Order. So appreciate that very much. We've lost our sponsor here at the moment, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And on the climate change issue, I am not certain that if we shut down every development in the state of Alaska, moved everyone from Alaska, and moved them out, that we would have any effect on climate change. Although we are a big pawn in that game, until the rest of the world gets on board and quits burning coal and quits burning all of the things and the way they produce energy, and Alaska should not be the poster child when we contribute such a small carbon footprint to the overall problem, that we should be held accountable for the world's climate change. And when I hear arguments about opening 1002, climate change, I don't think it's maybe one coal plant in China. So until we get a handle on the world's climate change, I'm tired of Alaska being the poster child and the fundraising tool to save the planet at the expense of our economy. And I probably just bitten off more than I can chew, but it is something that I've been fairly consistent with, and I'm tired of Alaska being the poster child. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And I do appreciate that. Just out of Chair's point of perspective, does Representative Nagyak have any staff in the... there you are. So if there are questions for the bill sponsor, you will be available. Thank you. Representative Josephson, sir.
Just under discussion on this topic, and if that's where we are.
Well, actually, I think you're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Okay.
If we're looking, I think what I would like to do with the concurrence of the committee at this point, what I'm hearing is discussion rather than querying of the sponsor. What I would like to do is open public testimony, go through that process, and then we can conclude debate on the bill before we determine its disposition today.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I will open public testimony on House Joint Resolution Number 10. And I would note, Madam Secretary, that we have no scheduled testimony, but I will offer to the room and certainly to the community for anyone that would like to offer public testimony. Hearing, seeing no one in the room, is there anyone online that would like to offer public testimony on House Joint Resolution Number 10? Hearing, seeing none, we will close public testimony, which would take us to amendments. Representative Aaron, you had discussed two concepts of amendment. One was somewhat complicated, which I would suggest in that nothing was brought to this committee before now, that something to take up with the sponsor and consider bringing to the process somewhat later as we move forward. However, with the concurrence of the actual chairman of this committee, I believe we could easily, and something we tend to do customarily around here, accept a conceptual amendment that would add all other members of the United States Congress as the addressees. Representative Herring.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, on both points. As the first conceptual amendment would be worked on and, after this committee, and may be considered by the sponsor, and then the small technical add-on is...
Would you like to make that as conceptual amendment number one to House Joint Resolution number 10?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chancellor. Conceptual amendment number one, Mr. Chairman, I offer up to the very end of the distribution list and all other members of the 114th United States Congress.
So I will object for discussion. The question before the committee is adding conceptual amendment number one, and Lipton of Heron again, just I'm a stickler for things. I did not hear the words. You offered up, but you did not make a motion. So, Madam Secretary, I would ask that that be interpreted as a motion, but to the future, again, we should be noting motions with I move. The motion would be to add all other members of the United States Congress for the 114th session. I would turn, Madam Secretary, is that sufficiently clear for you? Thank you very kindly. So the question before the committee is the conceptual amendment number one, adding all other members of Congress. Is there objection? Hearing seen.
You objected.
I'm about to remove my objections. Is there objection? I no longer maintain my objection. Therefore, conceptual amendment number one to House Joint Resolution number 10 has been adopted. And thank you. I would also note that there are no fiscal notes to discuss with this legislation, which brings it to committee discussion of the proposed joint resolution. Representative Josephson.
Just a couple of quick comments on the issue Representative Tarr raised. I agree with Representative Tarr that, and actually I agree with Representative Johnson. I think that part of the reason there's an interest even locally and even in a state with only 720,000 people about doing something is the belief that it has to start with each individual. But I agree with Representative Johnson that Alaska's impact is de minimis relative to the rest of the country. But I also agree, I think, with Representative Johnson that the rest of the world needs to lead. That's what I heard. Relative to the issue of whether we're a poster child, I don't think anyone is trying to provoke us with this recognition of Alaska and the Arctic as a poster child. I think, in fact, we are the poster child because of the change that is so self-evident and I think empirically proven at this point. As to the resolution, I have some concerns about, and I should have reviewed this earlier, but the as I said in my question about the boundaries of the conservation plan, I think that Shell's record in 2012 was quite awful. And even though in 2013 I supported a resolution for Arctic drilling, I'm going to revisit that subject when it comes before the body or before this committee. But the focus of this resolution is clearly about drilling in Anwar. And I'm told as recently as this weekend that, I'm reminded that there's been drilling efforts that have occurred in the past, that they're proprietary and profoundly secret. But that open seeps have been found. We have a pipeline that is in good working order. Judge Gleason said it can work for another 30 years. And I defended I supported her finding relative to that before the State Assessment Review Board. We're running out of oil. We, just on Friday night, I met with Mr. Teal. In fact, Mr. Chairman, we talked about percent of market value resolution that you've proposed and that there's some wisdom in that, but we need to do something. And I believe, as I've said and voted in the past, that although there is certainly some appeal to visiting the coastal plain that will be lost with development, both as a viewscape and as untrammeled space, I think that, I support drilling in the Anwar, and so I'm going to support the resolution.
And thank you very kindly. And I guess just a point of clarity that I heard in your comments there, that you discussed that this being a resolution regarding drilling, and I think respectfully, while that is a consequence of the issues contemplated in this resolution opposes the designation of Anwar as a wilderness area with all of its consequences. I think, maybe just a little technical differential there.
Sure.
And the other resolution we'll pick up today really does endorse the leasing activities in Anwar. Representative Seaton, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the resolution going forward and I'm supportive of it. However, I want to offer my words of caution on the sponsor statement that biological systems adapt, so I won't want to make it clear that from my standpoint that doesn't mean that we don't need to worry about biological systems and impacting them. You know, we have ocean acidification that is severely impacting some of the shellfish along our beaches in Alaska, so that there are other ramifications. But I want to make sure that we are not taking such a broad brush by looking at global climate change to say that nothing that we do should be analyzed with the aspect of direct impact on species, because we do need to watch about that, whether it's caribou herds and their migration patterns, or whether we're directly impacting other fishery or other animal populations in Alaska, and make sure that we always analyze what we're doing, whether that would have significant and immediate impact on populations. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't confusion in the public that we were saying that we didn't have to worry about anything that we do in the future. So I want to make sure that we consider specific and directed, targeted impacts on populations. But I will be supportive of this amendment or this resolution on the.
And thank you, Representative Seaton. I very much appreciate the clarification you've made on that position, and I certainly would add my endorsement to the words you have just offered us. Further discussion of House Joint Resolution Number 10. And I'd like to add just, you know, one observation. You know, we have, those of us who have been in the legislature, have seen the bill that will be coming up next, House Joint Resolution 9, endorsing the actual drilling in ANWR, the drilling, the ability to get in there and drill and really find out what the resource potential might be. This is the first time we've had a resolution before us opposing this wilderness designation. And I think for folks that are watching this, this has come about as a new item that we've had to be responsive to an action taken by the current administration in Washington, D.C., and it was, I think it really did take all of Alaska by surprise and by storm when we had basically the chief executive stand up in Washington, D.C. and say that, you know, further intend just to simply by fiat lock up another big chunk of Alaska and stop development by executive decision rather than by an appropriate deliberative process through the legislature. So I personally am hugely, anybody that knows me knows I spent my first 15 years in Alaska living in the North Slope, in Barrow, working in Koktovik, working on the original KIC-1 drilling program. And again, 30 plus years later, here we are, nothing accomplished. And now we're having the chief executive of the United States simply deciding he's going to draw a great big red line across that area and say, no way, no how, never, you know, eliminate all opportunities for the state of Alaska. So I think this is a particularly timely and particularly important resolution for us to consider. With that, is there further discussion of House Joint Resolution Number 10? Representative Herron, sir.
There wasn't initially until you sparked a little something there. Is last week I had a long phone conversation with Catherine Stevens, the widow of the great late Senator Stevens, and she said that when they had conversations, and your comments remind me of this recent conversation with her, is of course Uncle Ted worked on ANWR many times over his long career. And she said it reminded him of going to a beach arcade and putting in money to play whack-a-mole. And he says that every time the ANWR issue came up and it didn't quite make it, it was slammed down. And I said, yeah, that's the same thing that's happened to us here in Alaska now. Yet another attempt to close off ANWR to us. And I'd sure love to whack that mall. And she says, yeah, and you might get some real instant gratification if you could physically do it.
Point well made. Well, at this point, what is the will of the committee? Representative Olson.
You ready to move the bill out?
I would be ready for, I'd be happy to entertain a motion to move the bill.
I move House Joint Resolution 10 out of committee with attached.
As amended.
As amended.
So the question before the committee is moving House Joint Resolution Number 10 as conceptually amended from committee with individual recommendations.
Yes.
Is there objection? Hearing see none, the bill has moved from committee. Congratulations, Representative Nagyak, and your staff. Your first bill, first committee move.
Is that a conceptual thing?
And what I'll do is I'll take a brief at ease here. Okay, we'll come back on the record. It is about 10 minutes, no, excuse me, it's about 12 minutes before 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We continue to have our quorum to conduct business. The next item on our agenda is House Joint Resolution 9, endorsing Anwar Leasing by Representative Tellerico. Representative Tellerico, love to have either invite you from your chair or to take the witness stand in front of us, whichever you would prefer. And so, Representative, I'm very honored by the opportunity to welcome you to the House Resources Committee on behalf of our committee and the legislature, especially as you are our co-chairman this year. It's your first year in the legislature. It's a real privilege to serve with you here. So, with that introduction, if you could personally introduce yourself for the record and introduce your very obviously capable staff there who's there to provide you your lifelines.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. And on a side note, I've actually spent more time in these chairs than I have those chairs. So at some point in time, I think I'll be more comfortable in those chairs. But and I do have with me today.
And you need to introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Representative Dave Tellerico. I'm Representative House District 6.
Thank you very kindly.
And I have with me today my legislative aide, Joshua Banks. And, Mr. Chairman, if I could, would you allow Joshua to make a presentation for us today?
I would be delighted, Representative Tellerico. Joshua, if also if you could state again, restate your name for our record and commence your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Joshua Banks, staff to Representative Dave Tellerico. And I'll be giving a brief presentation about HJR 9, endorsing Anwar Leasing. As the committee is well aware of, when Congress passed the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act in 1990, or ANILCA, there was a small section of land that within the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge set aside for future resource development. This land is known as the 1002 Study Area and makes up 1.5 million acres of Anwar, or about 8% of the refuge. In ANILCA, it was enacted that in order for this land to be used for oil and gas development or to be turned into wilderness, Congress would have to give its approval. Though there have been many attempts for Congress to approve the drilling, none of these attempts have been successful. This resolution serves as continued encouragement for Congress to approve this drilling. There are multiple reasons why we support opening the 1002 area for development. First is that the land within the 1002 area would likely be developed for oil makes up 1% of the 1002 study area and 0.08% of all of Anwar. This leaves 99.92% free of Anwar free from oil development. Additionally, with drilling technology advancing to where it is today, the footprint for drill pads continues to be even smaller, and the volume of oil that one pad can get from the ground continues to increase. Even though oil drilling has been ongoing in Prudhoe Bay for decades, where the central Arctic caribou herd migrates, the population of the caribou herd has increased from 5,000 caribou to 67,000 caribou. This shows that despite intense drilling on the North Slope, our caribou herds have not been negatively affected, and drilling has happened and can continue to happen in Alaska without hurting caribou and without harming native subsistence rights. Finally, as the oil flow in the Trans-Alaska pipeline system continues to decline down to nearly 500,000 barrels per day, the need for new oil continues to be great. Opening Anwar would allow an estimated 700,000 barrels per day of oil at the peak to flow down taps and increase the life of this valuable piece of infrastructure. And according to the McDowell Group report in 2002 that we provided the committee, even if the price of oil was as low as $24 a barrel, Alaska could receive up to $500 million per year in royalties from Anwar. HGR 9 is very similar to resolutions that have been passed in the legislature, with only a few minor changes from the resolution that was passed 2 years ago in the 28th legislature. Primary changes consist of who the resolution is addressed to, including Senator Dan Sullivan, and specifying Senator Lisa Murkowski as the chairwoman of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Other changes include on page 2, line 13, instead of a generic gas pipeline, we've specifically named the Alaska Liquefied Natural Gas Project, or the AKLNG, that Senate Bill 138 started work on last year. We also added the estimated daily oil flow that could come from Anwar up to 700,000 barrels per day, which is according to an estimate done by the United States Department of Energy. And finally, with the 28th legislature's resolution, there are two be it resolved clauses that are very similar. So instead of having both of those, we just combine them into one. And with that, Mr. Chair, I can answer any questions that the committee has.
Oh, thank you very kindly. That was a very thorough presentation of the proposed resolution here. There are committee questions for the sponsors. Representative Josephson, sir.
Yes. The last resolve talks about the 90-10 split and our resistance to wanting to suffering a coercion from the federal government. It's always been my understanding that the 90-10 split refers to state land, and that's why everyone applauds DNR in the late 60s for selecting, I guess accidentally or maybe not, the Prudhoe area for state ownership. And so is it meant that we shouldn't accept less than that on federal land, even though the statehood compact doesn't suggest that we're entitled to more than 10%, or what is your understanding of that?
Through the Chair, Representative Josephson, my understanding of the Statehood Act was, I believe, was we received 90% of royalties, and so I believe that's what we were encouraging through the resolution.
Follow up, sir.
Just that.
Did you have language specifically in the resolution you were looking at?
Let me give that some thought, and I'll come back to the chair if necessary.
My question was: Are you talking about language that is specifically, mm-hmm. I mean, in the legislation rather than the? I did not mean to use the word amendment there. Where are you looking?
Page four,
lines 18 and 19.
Ah, okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, I've made it a point, I've told my staff this, they'll hold me to it, that I'm going to become a student of the Statehood Compact and see what it really guarantees and what it doesn't. And I just was unsure about that. Can I ask one other question?
Of course, sir.
The whereas clause on page 2 at line 26, I'm just confused where it says, while new oil field developments in the North Slope of Alaska may temporarily slow the decline in production, is that because of a pressure issue, or why would new oil field developments slow decline? I just didn't understand that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Joseph, which whereas? I missed that.
Line 26, page 2.
Right.
Yeah.
He's reading that.
It
wrong.
Could just be a typo. I don't know.
So, Representative Joseph, if you could, we're now looking at page 2,
I apologize.
Line 26.
I've misread this, and it's been, I withdraw my question.
Okay, thank you, sir. Let me ask you, going back to your previous question, that whole issue of the state being forced to take less than the 90% that we basically were provided of our natural resources under Statehood Act, the issue with Anwar has been that there was at one time in the federal process a discussion of maybe the feds could consider allowing access for that development if we would take less of a royalties and give more to the feds. There was the talk of a 50-50 split that was being engineered at one time. So, you know, that provision there is really looking at a historic event where at one time it was suggested that, well, maybe if the state didn't take all we were entitled to, that in our standard entitlement, that maybe there was a transaction that might be able to move forward. But that was, again, referencing a historic event that was getting Alaska to relinquish our claim on our standard claim on resources on the ground in the state of Alaska.
Understood.
Further questions for the sponsor of the bill?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Seaton, sir.
Just for clarification, the 90-10 is on federal land, not on state land. So there's no time in which we, other than on federal land, where we only get 90% of the royalty. We get 100% of the royalty. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to...
Federal lands that are in the state of Alaska on Alaska state lands.
Thank you, Mr. Yes. Chairman. That was a clarification.
Yeah, thank you. Again, a very good point. So at this time, Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one comment on page 2. This was in the previous resolution, line 7, where we talk about our nation's dependency on oil produced by hostile foreign nations. Just want to be careful with that language because our number one trading partner is Canada, which we have a great relationship with, but also because I believe this year we will achieve energy independence for the first time, and if things proceed as planned, I think that's the outlook for the future or the hope for the outlook. So just want to be careful with that language. Thank you.
Thank you very kindly. Hearing see no more questions for the sponsor at this time, I will open public testimony. And it is my understanding that we have no scheduled testimony. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? Hearing see none. Is there anyone online who would like to testify on House Joint Resolution number 9? Hearing see none. We will close public testimony, which brings us to amendments. And point out in the where we did the previous conceptual amendment, that amendment is already incorporated in the text of this bill that is before us about addressing all other members of Congress. Are there other amendments to be brought forward? Hearing see none. We'll move forward and note that there is no fiscal note associated with this bill. Is there further committee discussion? Representative Johnson, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I found something intriguing in the previous resolution that I hadn't seen before, that only 250 people visited the coastal plain on a yearly basis. And I've seen this presented as a tourist mecca and all the people that are not going to be there, we're going to ruin the beauty. And so I just wanted to point out that 250 people does not an onslaught of tourism make. So I just wanted to point that out. It was in the other one, but not this one. But just for the record, there are not a lot of people that want to go up there and be eaten by mosquitoes. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Point very well made. And I would note that for those of us who have spent time in the coastal plain designated as Anwar, we have one small village there that probably doesn't have the capacity to take more than one or two persons at a time. This is not a tourist mecca. It's anybody that's been there, it's basically a saturated sponge and a breeding ground for mosquitoes. Further committee discussion on House Joint Resolution 9. Representative Tallarico, any final comments on your bill before we determine its fate?
No, I appreciate the attention that the committee has paid to it. And I had all of these notes on rapidly changing technology, national interest, the Department of Energy, and economic prosperity. Since those questions weren't brought up, I would invite each and every one of you to stop by my office at some time and we can discuss those. But thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Tallarico. Joshua, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you before this committee. So that will take us to the will of the committee. Representative Olson?
Mr. Chair, I move House Joint Resolution 9 out of committee.
With?
We don't have anything.
Independent individual resolution recommendation?
With individual recommendations.
Thank you. The question before the committee is moving House Joint Resolution 9 from committee with individual recommendations. Is there objection? Hearing see none, so ordered. That brings us to the end of our scheduled meeting. First look to the committee. Is there any more business to be brought up for the good of the order?
Just a quick question. Are there any green slips available over in that corner?
I'll find some. I am sure they will find one to your office. And at that, Representative Tallarico, as you are chair of this committee, is there anything you'd like to bring up before we close your meeting?
No, sir. Thank you very much.
And do you know when the next is the next meeting scheduled for our regular time at 1 o'clock on Wednesday?
That's correct. We do have a meeting scheduled 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock regular time on Wednesday?
Wednesday, yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, well, with that, our next regular scheduled meeting of the House Resources Committee is 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. Until then, we will stand in adjournment.